Amen. The events here in John chapter 11 really bring before us the reality that as the Lord's people, that we do face very difficult and trying circumstances, trials and tears in our Christian experience and life. We find here that Mary and Martha both were to experience great sadness of heart. And of course, the Lord had come to that particular area, and there were occasions when the Lord had been in their house and they had welcomed him in their house. But here we find that Mary and Martha, they have a great concern. It is in regard to their brother Lazarus, who had become sick. And of course, in her time of need, in her time of trial, the right thing, the proper thing, the most vital thing is that you and I, that we seek the Lord, that we cry to him for a sense of his presence, and that he might come and that he might remedy the circumstance, the trial that you and I are experiencing. We find here that they were met, weren't they, with great disappointment after they had sought the Lord. It seems as if there was somewhat of a contradiction and somewhat of a difference between what the Lord had said and what the Lord was now doing. After all, their brother Lazarus was sick, and so immediately they send for the Lord to come and to presence himself there in the house to meet the need. And yet we find that upon hearing that, that the Lord abode still at that place. He didn't come immediately to their house. And we find there that it seems as if the Lord is not answering their prayers, that the Lord is not their friend as he really said he was. The Puritans had a great motto: God's delays are not his denials. And we find that that is very much the reality here in this passage. That although the Lord had delayed, the Lord had a greater purpose in mind and in view. Notice here what it says in verse 14. We read here, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly." In other words, very, very plainly, he sets this truth before them: Lazarus is dead. And then verse 15, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent, for the purpose, ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." God's delays are not his denials. The Lord had a greater purpose in mind and in view. It was to show forth his glory, his majesty, the raising of Lazarus. Look with me here at the verse 17, because here we find that the Lord has now begun that journey. He's making his way. And we find here in verse 17, "And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off." And so the Lord here, as I mentioned, had purposely not come at that particular time. Look at verse 20. "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house." Two very different approaches. Mary sits in the house, but Martha rises up and she runs immediately to meet the Lord. She's got something to say to the Lord. And notice what she said to the Savior. She said in the verse 22, "But I know," we'll read verse 21 just to get the context. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And basically, she starts off by accusing the Lord and saying to the Lord, Lord, you're too late. Your timing's not right. It's out of sync. But of course, the Lord had a greater plan and purpose in mind. We find that the words that Martha employed and used before the Savior when she came before the Lord were also very similar words from Mary. Look with me here at the verse 28 in the chapter. Now we read about this other sister, about Mary. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master has come and calleth thee. Mary, the Savior is speaking your name. He's calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. We find her now when Jesus was not yet come unto the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with him in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily, went out and followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep there. We find here that Mary comes before the Lord. And she says in verse 32, we read it, the exact same words of Martha, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But here in this portion, I want you to notice with me the particular place where Mary came. Look at verse 32. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. She came to the feet of Christ. It's a very specific place that Mary was found. And this morning, with the Lord's help, I want to leave with you the thought or the picture, should I say, three pictures of Mary at the Savior's feet. We find that on three occasions, Mary, the sister of Martha, was at the feet of the Lord. Here we find her in John chapter 11. And on this occasion, Mary, we find weeping at the feet of Christ. Oh, here is our great lesson. Here is something that you and I need to take to heart. That we bring our burdens, our cares, that we bring our tears to the very feet of Christ. The Lord had come. He had called for her. He is not one who is detached from us in our time of need. He's not one who is aloof from our problems that we face in life, from our tears. He's not one who stands afar off. He is the sympathizing Jesus. He is the one that we would refer to as being our great high priest. He's the one touched with the feelings of our infirmities. There's no one cares like Jesus cares. He cares about us. And of course, the devil will come, and especially when it comes to times of sickness, bereavement, whatever the matter is that brings about the flow of tears, the devil will come and try to have us believe and think, well, the Lord certainly doesn't care. He doesn't understand. He's really detached from what you're going through. But nothing could be further from the truth. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the Psalm number 6. I've often referred to my ministry amongst the addicted as a ministry of tears. I'm not ashamed to say that there have been many times when I've been broken and in tears regarding the ministry. Folks that we're seeking to reach, to work with, to help, to reach out to. One occasion, it was actually more than one occasion, but it was one particular year, the year 2020, of course, which stands out for us all, doesn't it? But that particular year, It seemed to be as if just so many of the people that we were working with and ministering to were passing away. And it was extremely difficult. I came to the place where I was just so broken. I just said, Lord, I can't go on. It's too hard. I'm absolutely heartbroken, Lord. And I remember actually saying to the Lord, I don't know if I can cope with another one of these folks passing away. There's just been so many. But the Lord spoke to me. Aren't we glad that God speaks to us and has a word for us? He brought me to Psalm number 6. I'm going to share this with you. Psalm 6, in the verse 6. Maybe you can identify with these words. Whatever you're facing in your life, your family, your heart. The Psalm of David, where David said in Psalm 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Perhaps you can identify with that and you would say, well, that's been my experience recently. I've shed many tears. It feels as if my pillow's just wet from those tears. David here uses what we would call as hyperbolic language. You might, for instance, use the term. We use hyperbolic language without really knowing it. It's a term of grammar. For instance, I don't need to say it. I've seen it a million times. Well, the reality is we haven't seen it a million times, but we're just sort of emphasizing the fact, I've seen it so many times. And David here, he's saying, Lord, I've shed so many tears. It's as if the bed is going to rise up and float because I'm on a river of tears. If you haven't shed many tears or been broken, let me say from Christian experience, it's never far away. Because we do not know what a day, never mind a week, will bring forth. Notice what it says here in verse 6. So David here is basically saying about how he's broken. He's at that point where he's just so grieved in heart. In verse 8, he says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. In other words, he's saying, those who would claim that God isn't near me or for me or with me, I'm not going to listen to your voice. Notice what he says here. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. And I can tell you, it was the word I needed to hear. I've heard your tears. Not only seen them, but the tears of the Christian have a voice. And here's Mary at the feet of Christ, and she's broken. And it's as if the Lord is saying, Mary, I not only see those tears, I hear them. Because I love you. The word here for voice, the Hebrew word is the same word that's found in Exodus chapter 20. I'm not going to turn to it, but there at the time when Moses was up in Sinai receiving the law of God, the commandments. But there you have the noise of the thunderings. It's the same word, thunderings. And the thought is that there are times when we don't know how to speak or to pray, but we just weep and we're broken, that the Lord says, well, I hear that. It's like thunder in my ears. Why is that? It's because the child of God is precious to the Lord. Child of God, you are so valuable, so precious to him. Psalm 56 talks about the very fact that the Lord stores up our tears in his tear jar, his bottle. They're precious. Why? Because you and I are precious. Here's Mary, and she's at the feet of Christ, and she's weeping. She's pouring out her soul before him. Oh, we need to take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Mary weeping at the feet of Christ. Can I say there was another occasion when Mary was before the Lord and at his feet? If you turn over with me to the next chapter, to chapter 12, here we find Mary worshipping at the feet of Christ. John chapter 12, and the words here in the opening verses, we read here, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Mary here before the feet of Christ. Now, in each of the Gospels, it is recorded how a woman came before the Lord, before his feet, and anointed the Lord and worshipped before him. Can I say that they are not all the same event? Now, most commentators, in fact, all commentators would be of the absolute persuasion that Matthew chapter 26, I'm just going to give you the references, and Mark chapter 14, it is the same event. It's the same record. Then we find this very similar event in John chapter 12. Now, some commentators here will have a different opinion as to who this person was. Was it the same Mary? I personally am of the opinion that it was the same Mary, the sister of Martha. I was reading John Gill, and that's the position he takes. I know Matthew Henry would be a little bit different, but most commentators would be of the opinion this is the same Mary, the Mary whose sister is and was Martha. Here we find her. And what is she doing in this occasion? She is worshipping before the Lord, the great God, the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God, the Christ, the God-man, who has raised up her brother from the dead, who has given unto him life. You think of how Lazarus was there in the house, sitting with them, having been brought back from the dead. And there he is, sitting with Martha and with Mary. And they've come to worship the Lord. He is the chosen one. He is the Messiah. But notice where Mary's at. What she did. We read here, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly." I trust that will resonate with us today. Very costly. She's willing to pay the price. She wants to pour out her heart, her soul. And can I say that that price need not necessarily be a financial price, maybe a sacrificial price, in the sense that we give the Lord our very all. We hold nothing back. But here she took that pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. She came there before his feet. And there she anoints his feet with that ointment, that beautiful perfume. Those feet that walked the pathway to Calvary. Those feet that were soon to be nailed to the tree. Remember, after the Lord appeared to his disciples, he said, "Behold my hands and my feet." And here is Mary came before Christ.
She came to worship him as the Son of God and God the Son. The one who would go away to Calvary, who would there lay down his life for ransom for the many. And she worships him as King, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You and I are to come before the feet of Christ every day. Well, let us never forget what it costs the Holy One to bear away our sin. What it means to be saved. May we never become accustomed or used with knowing that our sins are forgiven. Or may we come to the feet of Christ each day and there worship him and bless his holy name. Mary, worshiping at the feet of Christ. Mary, we thought how she was weeping at the feet of Christ. But turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 10. As I said, it's a threefold view of Mary at the feet of Christ. But here in Luke chapter 10, the words of verse 38, the latter part here of the chapter. We read here in Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Here we find the Lord had entered the household here of Martha and her sister Mary. We find that, of course, whenever the Lord came to the house at He came to bring the word. That was his mission. That's what the Lord had come to do. To share the word of God. To speak forth the word of life. Here we find that Martha was complaining that her sister was not participating in the work. Martha, no doubt, she felt the workload. She felt the burden of preparing, etc. But the Lord here was teaching a very important lesson, not just to Martha, but oh, a lesson for us all to take to heart and to keep before us. Mary was weeping at the feet of Christ. Mary was worshiping at his feet, but Mary waited at the feet of Christ. And how vital and how important that is. So vital. Of course, the Lord Jesus taught by example the need to wait upon the Lord. We read in Mark 1, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And the Lord has taught us that by example, the God-man in communion with his Father. It was D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, who said, we ought to see the face of God every morning before we see the face of man. And how true that is. Remember, oh, many years ago, our senior minister in Lisbon, Dr. Douglas, said that whenever we wake up, the first person that we talk to should be the Lord. You see, there are thousands of things, aren't there, that call for our attention. Appointments to keep. Tasks to be fulfilled. So much in life that really calls and beckons for our attention. And of course, there are legitimate things. They must be attended to. But when it comes to putting things in priority and putting them in their proper place, one thing is needful. One thing above all. One thing is so necessary, so vital. What is that? It is to wait at the feet of Christ. Let me ask you the question. And it's a question I pose to myself. How much time have we spent at the feet of Christ the past week? Something that we need to reflect upon, to take to heart. We find here that Mary, she lingered at the feet of Christ. She waited upon the Lord. Oh, how important that is. Not just to come before him, but to purposely set forth that time that we're going to wait, we're going to stay there, we're going to persevere, we're going to see it through, we're going to obtain the victory. She lingered at the feet of Christ. That was the place where she longed to be. Can I say that waiting time is never wasted time? Oh, that we would learn that lesson and really take it to heart. Not only did she linger there at the feet of Christ, but she listened at his feet. Her ear was open to his voice. That's why she had come. She had come that she might learn from him. And there she listened to him. She heard those words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You and I, we do not know what this week will bring before us. We do not know what mountains, what valleys we will face. You and I are not aware of that. And therefore we come before the Lord and we just wait upon him and to hear his voice. Mary was there schooled and educated at the feet of the Son of God. How important, how vital it is. How much time do we spend waiting at the feet of Christ? Mary, on those three occasions, she teaches us much, doesn't she? About the need to come before the feet of the Son of God. And of course, when you come to his feet, you're going to bow down in humble submission. Those beautiful feet nailed to the cross. I trust, I pray, we will follow in the footsteps of our Savior by making it the purpose of heart to wait before God. That we'll learn these lessons from Mary. Child of God, whatever you're facing, whatever you go through in life, always remember, your tears, just like Mary's, they have a voice. God not only sees them, God hears them. Oh, let's come. But let's abide and remain at the feet of Christ. I trust and I pray that we will do. We're just going to close our meeting in prayer, for time is gone, but let's just each one with the word of God that we've read and thought about, let's reflect upon it. And as we leave the house of God today, let us be resolved in heart and in mind to give the Lord our all. But let's be careful, very, very careful. Before we ever give the Lord our hands and our feet and our bodies as a living sacrifice,
That we give the Lord our hearts. That he has our love. Heavenly Father, we're humbled today as we've thought and considered how that thou dost love us, Lord, and how we're precious to thee. I want to thank thee today, Lord, for thy speaking voice. Lord, you know, for each and every one of us, there have been those times in our life's experience when we've just been so broken. Times when we are so broken. We think of loved ones not saved. Lord, you've seen the tears of a mother, a father. But Lord, how we rejoice today that you've not only seen, but you've heard. Our tears of a voice. And we ask, Lord, that we might ever be found at the feet of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the blessing of being at the Savior's feet. Hear and answer prayer today. Take us all to our homes in safety. Watch over us throughout the remainder of this thy day. Lord, as we return to the house of God later, bring us, Lord, in the expectancy that God is going to work, and with that faith, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, not that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lord, we are looking to thee to open the windows of heaven, to shower upon us that needful blessing. We love thee. We worship thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.